to say thanks to Dave for that. That, to me, I think, is a template for what shadow material feels like. Thank you so much. I have a confession to make. This is something that I have never shared with any congregation that I have served ever, but I think that I need to tell you today that I love monster trucks. I do. I love them so much. I love how big they are. I love how they have giant tires and how they drive over obstacles and just crush them. And I love how they have scary names like Grave Digger and Wrecking Crew. And I totally love the crazy over-the-topness of them. Monster trucks, it would seem, speak to my soul. Which is odd, because I'm usually kind of a straight-laced person. And I share this with you today for the first time, because we're talking about shadows. Those parts of us that we tend to hide from others, parts that we might be ashamed of, parts that we judge as bad or unacceptable, and so push them away out of sight. In day-to-day life, I am not a particularly flamboyant person. My general conscious approach to ministry does not involve riding roughshod and crushing obstacles. And yet, there is something in me that is truly drawn to the outrageous, aggressive, in-your-face world of monster trucks. And that is shadow stuff. My proposal today is that when we run into shadow stuff in ourselves, even the really deep and serious stuff, please do not push it away. Please do not try to destroy it. Instead, try to befriend it. Because it may seem counterintuitive, but that really is the way to greater freedom and greater peace. There's a wonderful story told by the Vietnamese Buddhist teacher Thich Nhat Hanh. Does anybody know Thich Nhat Hanh in the room? Yeah. So Thich Nhat Hanh tells us that one day the Buddha was having a very nice, quiet day at home. He has an assistant, Ananda, and Ananda is puttering around outside in the yard. And Ananda looks up and gets a nasty surprise because here comes Mara, the legendary bad guy in the story of the Buddha. Mara is the spirit of illusion and temptation who tried to attack the Buddha as he sat under the Bodhi tree long ago on the verge of enlightenment. Mara, who tormented him and almost derailed everything. This very Mara is walking up the path to the Buddha's house. Ananda says to him, Mara, what do you think you're doing here? Don't you remember the Buddha defeated you when you tried to tempt him under the Bodhi tree? Everybody knows you are the enemy of the Buddha. What are you doing here? But just then the Buddha comes up to the door with a big smile on his face. He says, Mara, my old friend, it has been so long. I'm so glad to see you. Come in, and we'll have some tea. Ananda cannot believe what he's hearing. What is the Buddha doing? The Buddha leads Mara into the living room. He says, have a seat. How are you? How's it going? Is everything okay? Mara sits down and he groans, oh, Buddha, things are not going well at all. I am so tired of being the personification of evil. Everyone expects to be bad all the time, and I'm so sick of it. I wish I could be someone else. And the Buddha looks at him with great compassion. And he says, Mara, my friend, I hear you. It's not so easy being a Buddha either. Everyone's building temples to me and statues of me. It's kind of ridiculous. And all these quotes floating around on the internet, supposedly by me, half of them I never even said. The whole thing is really very embarrassing. The two friends sigh, commiserating with each other, and they drink their tea. And Ananda looks on, amazed. So poor Ananda, he's us, isn't he? Ananda is everything about us that wants the world to be divided up into good guys and bad guys, totally clear. Ananda is that part of us that wants Mara to be the bad one and Buddha the good one. But Buddha does not act that way at all, does he? He invites Mara in and greets him as an old friend. Why would he do that? I hear this today as a story about our shadow selves. Ananda, the student of the Buddha, wants to push Mara away. Mara, the personification of temptation and evil. He wants nothing to do with that awful, horrible person. Maybe it's not so unlike the story that Austin shared with us today. Most of the people think that Fog Island is a scary, terrible place. But the Buddha sees things differently. He recognizes Mara as a friend, or perhaps a shadow part of himself, a shadow in himself that he wants to make friends with. Time for the Buddha to say, in effect, Mara, you are part of me. You were always part of me. It is time for you to be welcome here. Time for you to come home. About 100 years ago, the Swiss psychiatrist Carl Jung was beginning to formulate his theory of the shadow self. All of us, he said, have shadow selves. Parts of ourselves that we do not like very much. Parts of ourselves that we try to push away and not see in ourselves at all. And that's part of being human. It's how we are. It's not a morally bad thing in and of itself, but it can lead to real violence in this world. Because when we push those shadow selves away, they don't really go away. They're still part of us, and so that they cannot really go away. But we push them out as far as we can. We project them out away from us onto other people, and then we accuse those other people of being exactly those things we hate about ourselves and can't bear to face. So if, for example, if I carry a streak of selfishness in myself, and who doesn't really? If I have that selfish streak in me, but I can't bear to admit it, there is every chance that I will start accusing other people, those people, of being selfish, judging them as bad people. I can see the quality, but I cannot see its real home in me. We see this often in our political life these days, don't we? I'm sorry to say, I feel it needs to be said, we've seen a lot of this behavior coming from our president, accusing journalists of making up fake news, labeling rivals as sick and sad, blaming others rather than taking responsibility. I think it needs to be said, I have rarely seen a public figure less aware of his own shadow side. At least so it seems to me. And yet, I want to be so careful not to demonize the president. Absolutely, yes, to hold him accountable for his actions. Absolutely. To speak up when I disagree with him. Absolutely. To work against policies that are harming others. Absolutely. But if I can only see him as an enemy, if I can only see him as an enemy, never as a fellow human being, if the only reaction he can elicit in me is anger and disgust without any shred of compassion, then this is a sign that I am as much in the grip of shadow material as I believe anyone else to be. But it's hard to imagine a different way of relating to our political opponents these days, is it not? We all know that the level of political polarization in our country is so extreme right now, so much mutual loathing, parties against each other, radicals and moderates on both sides. And I think this is a sign that we all have a lot of work to do to own our projections onto those we consider to be our enemies. And if we don't do that personal work, I fear that we will continue to create enemies, continue to perpetuate violence, not only in our individual lives, but throughout our society. To name an example, which is very serious, we have all been heartbroken by the ongoing police violence against African-American men. And we know that a huge part of that dynamic is the way people who identify as white in our society are projecting our own shadow material onto African-American men. They may be labeled as violent, aggressive. You know all this. I don't have to give you the litany. But without any regard for who they actually are as human beings. And this kind of labeling and stereotyping, I would say, is a projection which is massive and collective and very deadly. It is a disowning of the violence and aggression that live in each one of us. And so part of the work of dismantling white supremacy, which we have committed to undertake, part of that work has to be for those of us who identify as white to work on taking back our projections and making peace with our own aggression, our own violence. It is challenging, but it can be done. It must be done. Many years ago, Rabbi Jesus is thought to have said these words, "If you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. But if you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you." So if we can do the work of bringing forth our shadow sides, if we can begin to see the shadow parts of ourselves and say to them, "You are part of me," we can transform not only ourselves, but our world. When we make peace with our own shadow, we can withdraw our projections from other people who we might otherwise have blamed, targeted, and attacked. And so this personal, very personal inner work truly can create peace in the world. So where do we start? How do we do it? How do we begin to recognize that shadow material? One way is to notice when we react very intensely to another person. Like if there is someone that you just hate, if there is someone that you just, whether it's somebody close to you or some kind of celebrity or public figure, hatred is a strong clue that we may be interacting with a shadow part of ourselves that we have pushed away. And luckily, as David Richaud reminds us, it works the same way with positive shadows also. Because we've been talking about negative qualities, but we all also have gifts inside us that we have not yet been able to claim and integrate. And so we also project those positive shadow sides onto other people too. So pay attention also when you find yourself intensely admiring some other person. If you look at some other person and say, "Oh, that person is amazing," this may be a sign for you that you have a gift inside you that you haven't yet discovered. A gift that you may just dimly sense. And maybe it is asking you to help it manifest and come out into the world. So holding on to those thoughts, I want to invite you now into a time of guided meditation to explore just a little bit of your own shadow self, both negative and positive. If this is comfortable for you, I invite you to participate. And if that's not what you need, I invite you to just be where you need to be, do what you need to do. So for those who are willing, I invite you to take a few breaths to begin. Let's just breathe, and you can close your eyes if you want, or just let your eyes be soft. Feel grounded. And now I invite you to think of someone whom you deeply dislike. It's best if you choose someone that you don't know all that well, someone who has not done any harm to you personally or a loved one, someone you don't know very well, but someone you have strong negative feelings about. Take a moment to call such a person to mind. And now see if you can find a word or a phrase for the qualities you most dislike about them. Maybe they are cruel, self-centered, whatever it is. See if you can find just a word or a phrase that captures what you most dislike about that person. And hold that in your imagination. And now ask yourself, if you're willing, how do I have that same quality in myself? How is that quality part of me? And just try to sit with that a little bit. And if you manage to find that quality in yourself, ask yourself now, how could I be kinder to that quality in me? How could I just hold it and be okay with it in myself? So we're going to transition now. I want to say a word of thanks to all those people who came to mind and all those qualities. Thank you for being our teachers today. And now we're going to change a little bit. And I invite you now to think of someone whom you deeply admire. Someone that you have intensely positive feelings for. Take a moment to call that person to mind. And now again, see if you can find a word or a phrase to describe what you most admire about them. Maybe this is a person who's strong or kind, or creative, whatever it is, see if you can find a word or a phrase that captures what you really admire. And now ask yourself, how do I have that quality in me too? How is that quality part of me? And sit with that a little bit. And now ask yourself, if you touch that quality in you, ask yourself if there is a way maybe that you want to try to bring that out into the world a little bit more, a way that you want to express it in your life. Again, I want to say thank you to all those people who came to our mind and those qualities which we admire. Thank you for being our teachers also. And thank you to all of you for participating. Let's just take another breath or two and then return our attention to the full group. So thank you again for being willing to explore these shadow pieces of ourselves. Just that little bit of work we did together now. Just that little bit of work exploring what it feels like to take back a shadow projection has made perhaps a small but a real contribution to peace in our world. So thank you for that. Buddha and Mara are still drinking tea together. Not enemies, but old friends. And you? Will you invite Mara in? Blessed be. Amen.